Mark chapter 8, we're going to be in verses 22 through 26. Now, we had just a tremendous week this week. And I was only partially joking, by the way, telling those students that they weren't in Kansas anymore. It can be a little disconcerting for groups. We had one of teenagers yesterday was just handing out flyers and putting them on door knobs, and somebody thought he was trying to break in. And called the cops on them and tried to get rough with them. So I tell people, welcome to our humble city. Welcome to Avondale. If you notice, we don't have liquor stores here. It's a wonderful thing. You have liquor stores because they don't sell it at the grocery store and at the corner gas station. We have no need, evidently, for liquor stores because you can buy them in the spur. Crazy place that you're at. Drive-through daiquiri stores. This is why you're here, so that Christ will use you to where those places won't have to exist, to where God's people spread the word so clearly that people come to Christ and no longer need those things. That's why we're glad you're here. But we did have a great week. We had 16 salvation decisions this week. In Avondale. There were more in other places. I mean, added to that. But 16. And that's an exciting thing. One summer we had back in 2002 over 100 decisions for Christ. But sometimes you look around and say, what has happened? 100 decisions, 100 people, 100 cards to follow up with and get in touch with people who said that they made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. A year later, 2 years later, out of that 100, it was hard to find those that had said they gave their life to Jesus. What happens? Why does that occur? You know, many people can come to a place where they know they need something. They know they don't want what is in front of them. They don't want the destruction they see in their life. And when you tell them about the Lord, that, oh, they know that's what they need. But they don't truly take that step with it. Out of the 16 this week, I'm praying that we'll see 16 salvations true, and that we'll see people walk, 16 new believers walk with the Lord for the rest of their lives. But I know that Jesus said that it is a narrow path that we follow, and many will miss it, even those who said they found it. All throughout Scripture, I see times where people walk away from what they know of the Lord. And so this morning, I want you to read the Scripture with me as we look at a healing take place. A man who is blind that Jesus heals. But I want you to see that this was a healing that was progressive. That this was a healing that wasn't just he was healed and walked away and he never looked back. This was a healing that took steps. And I want to suggest to you that although salvation is an instantaneous event, the healing we see from it is a progressive thing, and that we need to walk with our Savior. We need to, as the Apostle Paul says, live in fear and trembling. We need to look at our salvation and seek it out each and every day. It is an event that Christ does in us, and if it is true, we will continue until the end. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of Scripture that warns you of not enduring to the end. And I would say that any healing that God does is the same way. If you truly want to see healing in any part of your life, it's a progressive, long-term thing. Look with me at Mark chapter 8. Will you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word together? Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." Lord, we come to you and honor your word. By it, Lord, you speak to us and change our lives. We come to you, Lord, and honor your presence. Holy Spirit, by your presence, you bring glory to the Son and the Father through our praise. You bring to understanding and wisdom your word. And we pray for that, that this morning you would bring revelation to who you are and to how you speak and what you would have us do to follow you. We praise you in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? I hope you can see with me some truths about healing. And I wanna take and talk about this healing of a blind man and apply it to our salvation and to the salvation of many. Because salvation is just the healing of our souls, isn't it? Salvation is the healing of our sin problem. Salvation is the washing clean and the giving of life to the dead. You remember that the scripture tells us that before salvation, you were dead in your sin and transgression, but God makes you alive in Christ Jesus. That is the ultimate healing. First of all, I hope that you see with me that healing is not always an instantaneous thing. It is a ongoing, progressive thing. Look at all the steps involved in this particular healing of this blind man. In verse 22, some people brought the blind man. They begged Jesus to heal him. That's the first stage, coming to the place where you're begging the Lord to heal you. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. Lord, I see my sin for what it is. I see your holiness for what it is, and I can't reconcile this. I know you should throw me out for all eternity to hell." I was talking to a young man this week, and I asked him, "If you died today, where would you be?" 16-year-old, he looked at me right in the eyes and said, "I guess hell." Because right before that, I had invited him to church, and he said, "You know what? I've never really thought about going to church in my whole life." I said, "Well, do you think about the Lord? You think about God?" "No, not really." "Well," I said, "let me just ask you this. If you died today, what would happen to you?" He said, "Well, I guess I'd go to hell." I was blown away. A 16-year-old telling me he's going to hell. How often does that happen? Usually when you ask somebody that question, they'll come up with all reasons why they really are going to heaven, even though inside their heart they know it's not true. But he was just honest with me. "I guess I'm going to hell." And so I was honest with him and said, "Yeah, I guess you are. Don't you want to think about that? You see, if you just look at God far away and think that you don't need him, there's no healing that's going to take place for your soul. Christ's death on the cross doesn't automatically send people to heaven. There is a place they have to come to of repentance. There is a place they have to come to of forgiveness and begging Jesus, the first step. They brought the blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus, "Please heal him." Has someone brought you to Jesus and begged you to come to that healing? Then it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Then he spit on the man's eyes. Kind of gross, right? Not when it's your Savior's spit. That's healing spit right there. He spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" What happened? The man says, "I see people, and they look like trees walking around." Has he been healed yet? Did it happen in a flash? There was step after step after step involved here. This is odd, isn't it? You know, there's times that a leper would cry out to Jesus from afar and be healed instantaneously. There's the blind Bartimaeus in chapter 10 of Mark that we find out came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Lord, I want my sight." And Jesus said, "You are healed." Instantaneously. But in this case, no. Many, many steps. And then Jesus puts his hands on, and you think, for surely the man will be healed now. But he's not healed fully. He looks around and he can kind of see. Believe me, I take my glasses off. I can totally understand where this man was. I see trees walking around. That's not good sight. He's not healed yet. Same thing seems to occur in salvation. Many times someone will come down and surrender their life to Christ and complete healing is taking place and you see it develop. But other times you see someone come to the Lord and yet for years struggle with this walk until finally one day they completely have new sight. I've always struggled with that. Before I became a pastor, I'd tell people I understood salvation. It was easy. Before I became a pastor, I knew exactly. I pray with someone, they bow their head, they say the sinner's prayer, they're saved, and that's the end of it. I'm sorry, I've been a pastor now for 12 years. I've seen too many times that wasn't the end of it. I've seen people go years and years where you don't know what's going on with them. And then all of a sudden, one day, they say, "I really surrendered my life completely." But let me ask you, do we give up in between those times? Do you give up too early on the healing of God in your soul? Do you give up too early on the healing of God in any area? Sometimes healing can be a process. Sometimes it's a fast process, sometimes it's a long process, but there are times that it is a process. And I'd submit to you, it's most of the time. But Jesus, praise God, is committed to finishing what he started. Look what happens. Was Jesus surprised when the man says, "I see people walking around like trees"? Did he stop and go, "Ah, I just can't do this today"? Did he stop? Is there anything in this account that makes it sound like this was news to our Savior? You know, I look at this and I haven't seen in other healings where Jesus questioned how much healing took place. But in this one, in verse 23, Jesus asks, "Do you see anything?" As if to let the man know, you're not completely healed yet. Because all the other times someone gets their sight, they immediately start praising the Lord. The sight is there. Someone is healed from leprosy. They immediately start praising the Lord. Their hearts leap out. Jesus set it up. Do you see anything? Has it worked yet? Because I want you to realize that this will take commitment. And I'm committed to seeing it come through. Our Lord and Savior, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Philippians 1:6. He will bring to completion the good work he has begun in you. And I want to suggest to you, if he's begun that good work in you, he won't be the one to quit. How is it that we can walk with folks that over and over and over fall? How is it that we can keep standing them up and saying, "Christ is not done with you. Don't give up. Christ is not finished with you. See it through to completion. Christ is not done with you. Endure to the end. Surrender again. I know you feel guilty. I know you think you blew it. I know you think that the Lord doesn't care anymore and is spitting you out. But he's not the one that's done with you. Don't be done with him." There's a young man going through a very, very difficult time right now. Horrible time. I'll talk to him on the phone pretty much every week. All the time he tells me how much he's failing God because his faith is failing. And I tell him, "Look, Just keep walking. I know you feel like you can't go back and pray the same prayer again and ask forgiveness for the same thing again. Just keep doing it. He who has began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is a great promise that carries so much weight in my life. Maybe I'm the only one, me and this young man, but do you blow it? Do you wake up sometimes and just think, Lord, you've got to spit me out of your mouth? There is no way that you could be happy with what I've done. Do you ever just say, Lord, why would you ever choose me for salvation? Why would you ever think that I could walk on the streets of gold with you? Don't you know me by now? Jesus says, do you see anything? And he's not surprised when the man's sight isn't fully restored. And he goes back, puts his hands on the man's eyes again. And what happens? Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Please don't miss this. If you can't see it clearly yet, don't give up because Jesus hasn't. Jesus is committed to finishing the work he has started. Healing doesn't happen immediately. It's a process. Salvation is from here until death, and then for all eternity we're saved. I love Hebrews. It says he is saving those who have been saved. What a great word. I've been saved, but he's saving me still. It's a process. And finally, I've said this already, but I'm going to say it again. Don't quit. Continue to seek his healing. Continue to walk with him. Continue every day to cry out to him. Continue to feel the power that he gives through his Spirit. Continue to listen for his voice saying, don't go there, go here instead. Stay away from that, go over here. I have a plan for you. He says, I know that plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not harm. The man looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. I know so many people that at that point would have walked away. So many people at that point would have maybe said, well, you tried, Jesus. Never forget a young man coming to Christ. We thought, praising God during one of those revivals we had back in the summers, 2003, 2004, something like that. Got baptized that very night. So excited about what the Lord was doing in his life. 2 weeks later, he's in my office. I said, what's going on in your life, man? Well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So wait a minute. What happened to walking with the Lord? What happened? What happened to the salvation that you've grabbed hold of? Oh, I tried Jesus. He didn't work. 2 weeks. He tried Jesus and he didn't work. This man tried Jesus and stayed there until he was healed. Do you say you see anything? Yeah, I see trees walking around. So many people would cut and run at that point. You know what? You're not everything I heard about. You must be just one of those money preachers looking for my money. No, he stayed. Jesus wasn't surprised, so the man wasn't surprised. I see people walking around like trees. He actually saw that, I think, as a positive step. Look, Lord, this is better than when I didn't see anybody. And Jesus puts his hands on his eyes again. The man didn't recoil. He didn't back off. He continued to stay there to be healed. Will you continue to stay with Jesus to find that healing? Will you continue to pray for those around you to find that healing? Or will you give up, cut and run? You know, we've been praying for Avondale for a long, long time. My family, we've only been here for the last 12 years, but my wife grew up in this church. And so we, ever since I knew how to pray 20 years ago when I got saved right here in this church, right here at the foot, right? Well, I got saved I got saved upstairs, I think, but it really came to fruition downstairs, and then I walked down here and prayed with the pastor anyway. Last 20 years, I've been praying for this neighborhood, day and night, it seems, praying to see God transform it like he transformed Ephesus in the Bible. There's no reason why it can't happen here. There is absolutely no reason. God's power is the same it's always been. Is there any reason why God can't transform this whole neighborhood? Why every single house can't be filled with people praising their Lord and Savior? Is there anything too hard for me, declares the Lord? No. And I haven't seen it yet. And sometimes I want to give up. But I'm going to be like this man. I'm going to wait it out. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not turning my back on the Lord because I know he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And I know he's got a good work going on. And I know that we are supposed to walk with the neighborhood. And I know that we are supposed to continue to be in prayer on our knees. And I know that the power of God comes when his people wait on him. Where are you this morning? Are you really ready to stick it out with Jesus and see his glory in your life and see healing come? And are you ready to see him transform this neighborhood into his likeness? Are you prepared to stay with him? I know I am. I've been seeing his hand at work in such powerful ways. And you know what? Even if I didn't see it at work, I wouldn't leave him. He's got me. I tell him all the time. Heard the greatest testimony recently. We were watching a video of a missionary in Indonesia. And this missionary couple was trying to reach their community for Christ. And they found out that babies were being left at the hospital to die in failed abortion attempts. And they went to the hospital and said, instead of allowing those babies to die, will you let us take them in as foster parents? And they said in Indonesia, there was no such thing as foster parents. So the government had to figure out how to do this. And they said, yes, we'll do this. And in one day, they had 9 babies dropped off at their doorstep. Can you imagine? 9 babies. All babies. All botched abortions. 9 of them. And they took them all in at once. And the missionary couple was so overjoyed and so overwhelmed. And after about 30 days of this, the wife said, I was at my end. And so I went to the Lord and said, Lord, you got us into this mess. We're counting on you to get us out. What an incredible testimony, because they got this great, wonderful, God-inspired idea to start taking women who were being released from prison and training them to be nannies. In the last 10 years, they've trained over 100 women to be what you call au pairs, nannies, have professional training certificates and real-world experience raising these foster babies. They've had over 100 babies come through their homes in 10 years and then found permanent homes to place them in. And so I look at what we're involved in Avondale, and I said, Lord, you got us into this. Get us out. Glorify yourself. Bring praise to your name. Bring healing to Avondale. Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray for your healing. We pray for those this week that wanted nothing to do with you. For those that don't understand who you are, think that they're just going to walk in front of your throne and just say, hey, let me in. I did some good stuff in my life. Let me in. We pray for them, Lord, that you would truly reveal yourself to them. Their hearts would be broken. and they would come to true repentance and faith in you. We pray for those this week, Lord, that came to you, wanting your salvation, crying out to you with all their heart. Lord, we pray that great work that you've begun would just continue, and that fruit would show from their life. And Lord, that Satan would have no foothold. Lord Jesus, you gave us the sower and the seed parable. You gave us this viewpoint that the seed falls on all sorts of ground, and only one out of those four examples did the seed grow up and bring fruit. Lord, I pray for much fruit from this week. I pray for many lives that are changed. I pray for a transformation of Avondale into your likeness. I pray this week at sports camps, Lord, that you would use the gathering church in a powerful way, and that children would come to know who you are and surrender their lives to you and know the joy and the peace that comes from that. And Lord, that their families would see that and be drawn to you and be saved, and that all of Avondale would bring praise to your holy name. I pray for an end to the abuse that we see all around us, Lord, an end to the destructive behaviors that we see in people's lives, an end to all that. Lord, I pray for your joy. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, will you continue in prayer? Continue to pray for God to do a mighty work in your life and in Avondale.